The following program is a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you like it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Go to am1260therock.com and click on the orange donate button.
The humanity of the priest is a bridge to encountering Christ and should not be a barrier. People always say, like, well, if you weren't a priest, what would you be doing? And I'm like, it's hard for me to think of anything other than what I'm doing.
That's what we're striving to discern, is what is God's plan, his dream, his will, his desire for me, where I'm going to be most fulfilled. And it really is through living a sacramental life that is absolutely going to support that.
When you're married, you have to realize it's not just you anymore. It's you and your wife and God.
If you desire to be truly happy, then your life should not be about you.
Welcome to God Calling, our locally produced program that explores the various vocations available to Catholics in all walks of life. Now here's your host, Paul Orlowski.
Thanks once again for joining us. This is God Calling. I'm Paul Orlowski, your host, and our guests are Anthony and Vicki Colantono. Guys, welcome to God Calling.
Thanks for having us.
Happy to have you. How long have you guys been married?
25 years.
Wow. Good for you.
Thank you.
Seems like a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
But 25 years, long time.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Let's start with you, Vicki. How did you grow up and where?
Grew up in Cleveland, east side of Cleveland. When I was in eighth grade, we moved to Independence. Mm-hmm. And I grew up there, went to St. Michael's Elementary School, and then Padua Franciscan High School. Mm-hmm. And senior year, met Anthony.
Oh, wow.
But he's a year older than me.
Okay. What was it like in your home? Mass,
you know,
every
what?
Week?
So my parents are both from Italy, so I'm first generation here. My mom and dad, especially my mom, stressed the importance of going to Catholic school. And mm-hmm. we always had a very strong foundation because of her, especially. And my faith was always very important to us and to me specifically. I'm firstborn, so kind of like that good firstborn who does everything. No, I'm just kidding. I was in and out of my faith, truly, mostly like good in grade school, went with my parents. Come high school, my mom gave us the freedom to choose, which is kind of rare, but she did put that Italian guilt on us and Catholic guilt on us. So I did go. I taught Sunday school with some friends. I absolutely loved it. Went to college, and that's kind of when I drifted away.
I hear that a lot on this program.
Yep, it's very common. And it wasn't truly until I had my own children that I came back into the faith, mm-hmm. And going to church. But was I a perfect churchgoer? No.
Mm-hmm.
No, probably not.
I'm the oldest grandson in an Italian family. I don't look it, but my grandparents came from Italy as well. So you know how many times I heard, Polly, why don't you become a priest? Polly, why don't you become a priest?
My dad would say that to us. I have a sister and a brother, and he would say, someone has to be a nun, or, you know, my brother has to be a priest, which I thought was crazy. And the more he said it, the more we ran the other way.
My cousin John got me off the hook. He's a priest.
Nice. Oh, perfect. There you go.
Anthony, how about you? Where'd you grow up?
So I grew up in Independence, not far from here. So born and raised in Independence, went to Independence High School. A little different path than she took with, you know, going through Catholic school and mm-hmm. Catholic high school. I had to take the CCD classes. I think it was Wednesday evenings we would go.
Yeah.
You know, graduated from high school, ended up meeting Vicki, and, you know, it started the courtship and ended up getting married.
Yeah. In the family, was Mass important, or was
So, you know what? We were very, I don't even know if we could call it lukewarm. It wasn't super important. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, we knew, you know, hey, if you want to go to church, you can go to church. You know, Vicki, when we got married, she'd always be on me like, oh, come on, we're going to Mass. And I'm like, I always had an excuse. You know, I'm always like, you know, I got something else I got to do. And it's just horrible. After, you know, I look back now and I'm just like, all this time I wasted of not being, you know, in Mass, you know, at church. I stripped myself of that, and I do regret it, but now I'm in a really good place now, so. Yeah.
Well, you're always welcome to back, that's for darn
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, you never can totally lose it. How did you guys met? How did you hook up? How did you ask her out, or did you ask him out?
So, no, I did not.
I just started showing up.
We had a mutual friend, and was talking to a friend of his, Tony, And yeah, I don't know, we were just friends more than anything. And then Anthony kept showing up more and more, and I was confused. And I actually told my mom, you know what, tell him I'm not home. Tell him whatever you want.
Just work myself in.
And he's a year older than me, so I was a senior in high school, and he was already graduated. And I thought, I just want to focus on going to school and college and don't really want a relationship. Mm-hmm. And ended up going to Cleveland State and started to really like him and thought, I don't know. And my mom and dad got married really young, so my mom was definitely not encouraging this, wanted me to complete college and get a degree, which I knew I would do. I knew 100% I was going to do that. But I thought, I have this amazing guy. How can I let him go? But I was also being firstborn. I listened to my parents and I thought, am I making a wise decision? I really remember consciously thinking, I don't know, maybe I am young, maybe I shouldn't, you know? But then something's pulling on my heartstrings where I'm like, I can't let him go. I'd be so foolish. And it just kind of blossomed from there.
Well, certainly, Anthony, with your last name, they had a—I mean, you know, it's not like Orlowski coming knocking.
That's right.
Colton Tono, they must have liked
it's
that.
It's a tough one, yeah. I joked with him many times, if we get married, you're going to have to, like, change your name to mine, my maiden name, because that one's way too hard.
My wife's maiden name is Alan.
Alan, oh, so much easier.
Much easier.
You got this mess, yeah. Oh, dear. How long were you married? Did you graduate from college?
I graduated with a psychology degree.
Okay.
And again, I took a different path. I started working right out of high school. You know, my father was learn a trade. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm a journeyman woolmaker by trade. So we used to do toys for little tykes, stuff like that. You know, the molds for them.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. It gave us a good start, you know, before we got married. So I bought a house back in... I mean, I was 23, I think, or 24 when I bought my first house. 23, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. Never lived in the house. I never lived away from home until we got married. Mm-hmm. So I worked on the house every day. I went there, never slept there. She stayed at her parents' house. We never did that, you know, cohabitating thing or anything like that. And house was done. We get married. We go on our honeymoon. We come back home, and we look at each other like... Now what? You know, it was just we were never away, you know, yeah. or separate or
sure.
like that. So yeah. Just interesting, very interesting. Yeah. So
when did you start a family? How long were you married?
So got married at 24 and wanted to wait. I was partially afraid to start a family, and kind of prolonged it a little bit. So I was 27 when I had my first, but I was 30 when I had all three. Mm-hmm. So I knocked it out, three in a row.
Three children.
Yeah, three daughters. Yeah.
We'll talk about that when we come back on God Calling here on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Anthony and Vicki Colantono joining us. We got to the point where we found out you have three children. The oldest is Silvana.
Yes.
How about the other two?
Olivia is 20 mm-hmm. right now, and Eva is a senior Padua. She's 17. She'll be 18 soon.
Okay. That's wonderful.
It is.
Something I read. I know that there's been a tragedy in your life, and
yes.
that you got a phone call about your oldest daughter, Silvana, when she was 19.
Yes.
But you know, something that moves me. You always talk about her in the present tense.
I do. It's interesting because we volunteer at RCIA, and we watched a video yesterday with Father Ricardo, and he made the statement that really stood out to me, and I just rejoiced over it, but. He said, those who pass on never leave us. They're always with us. And I looked at Anthony, and I'm like, that's precisely 100% how I feel. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I was shocked, and it was devastating, and I'm probably still in a state of shock.
Sure.
But I know 100% with every fiber of my bones that she's with us. And I always, and I know it's weird, but I even sign her name on, like, Christmas cards or, you know, any greeting cards that we do. I'm like, she will always forever be my daughter. She will always be part of our family. And I feel her presence very strong. And I don't know how else, I can't put it into words, but it's my driving force. And I have new eyes, and I never in a million years thought I would be in this position. Mm-hmm. But it has completely transformed every entity of our life right now. But I do 100% feel like she's with us. She's more alive today than when she was physically here with us.
Yeah. I should tell people it was a tragic car accident.
Yeah. You know, it was.
That phone call that nobody wants to get. No. Yes. Everybody dreads.
No, but, especially because it was a beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
It was an afternoon, Tuesday afternoon, 1 o'clock. You know, the weather was fine, sunny. She was not on her phone. She wasn't texting. It was truly a construction route that detoured her. She was on her way to school, and during COVID, every class was canceled online. This specific class had to be in person, mandatory, so she was rushing to get there. And the total devastation of it is they canceled it right before the accident. Oh, but she just took a detour that was a really, really tricky route. And it was I haven't been there, so I don't even know, but it's an industrial parkway. And just collided a semi or a dump truck came away.
You know, it's often said that we play a great role in our kids' lives and form them, but they form us too. I don't think there's any question about that.
Absolutely.
You guys seem to be
so
the living.
Bizarre, yes.
She has changed everything. You know, we live through her and by her and for her and our other kids as well. But I mean, you know, this tragedy, it actually brought us, I think, really closer together. You know, we took everything for granted before. You know, mm-hmm. everything was good. Life was good. You know, and then you get that call, and it's just, you know, everything, in a blink of an eye, everything changed.
Sure.
It just changed. And,
you know, we had I put it this way, we had a charmed life up until that moment. Really, truly. And when that moment struck, one of the first things people told us was, oh, my goodness, make sure you stay together. Make sure you work on your marriage because of, you know, tons of couples divorce during tragedies like this, which I thought was so odd to say when something happens horrifically in your life. And it literally was like the next day that a couple different people told me that, which struck me so oddly because not an ounce of me thought in that direction. And I thought, no way, how could I ever let this break us apart? He's the only one who could understand.
Something else that I think happens in something like this, maybe the couple breaks up, but sometimes it destroys their faith in God too. How could God do this to me?
Absolutely. I could see how it can go the other way, but I think luckily, you know, by the grace of God, it didn't. You know, I could tell the story of when COVID hit, they were going to say, okay, there's no more, you can't go to Mass. What are we going to do? Can't go to Mass. So I came up with the idea, hey, let's live stream the Mass. So it was just, for a while there, it was just me and Father Justin or me and Father Lewis at Assumption.
Mm-hmm.
Early morning, it was almost like God was preparing me for something.
Yeah.
Without me knowing. So I was live streaming for, I don't know, 6 or 8 months. And all of a sudden, you know, this ends up happening. And the very next day that the accident happened, where was I sitting? I was sitting in church, and I haven't left. That's something I start my day with every day. Is I go to Mass every day.
I stream Mass a couple times a week. So if you ever watch St. Joseph's Avon Lake, and it's out of focus, you know who's running the camera.
We know who to blame that.
We know Paul's running the camera today.
I like that.
That's funny.
But you know, it's kind of interesting. I think some of the priests are kind of wondering about the streaming. It's great for the homebound, but a lot of people think it's okay to just watch online. And the bishops, he pulled that
thing. It's done. It's over with. Get to church.
But sometimes they'll take communion to some of the older folks, and they're watching Mass, and they love it. So
it's a
two-way street, but the faithful will come back for
sure. Absolutely.
No doubt about it. Well, this entire terrible situation led to something very beautiful, and that has to do with rosaries. Anthony?
Yes, it does.
Tell me about this.
So I started making rosaries a couple years ago. So I had a friend come up to me. His name's Dave. And he's like, hey, can you help me fix a rosary? I go, sure, can't be that hard. So after I fix it, I go, I think I can make rosaries.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went to the local store, bought some beads, and started making rosaries. And they kind of evolved into something really nice now. So it was May 22nd of this year. I woke up, it was 3 o'clock. I have my notes documented. 3 o'clock, get out of bed, something pushed me out of bed. And I start jotting down a roadmap of what I want, traveling rosary. And everything I had written down is now in place. You know, track it with a QR code, see how far I can travel. You know, it takes a couple hours to make a rosary. And when I started this, I was like, well, let's just see where it goes. We started this. Officially launched it on Silvana's birthday, which was September 21st. We are now, I believe, we have rosaries in 11 countries. and they're just moving around. We had one go from here to New York, to Lourdes, France, over to Los Angeles. It's now in the Philippines, and people are just praying these rosaries. So that the concept is, I give someone a rosary that I've prayed, and I say, Paul, take this rosary, pray it, and when you're done, register the rosary with the QR code, and I call it pray it forward, pass it on to someone else, and let's just see how far it can go. And they're just moving. Every day I'll get an email saying, this person registered the rosary here, and I go online and I plot it on the map, and you know, it's just something I want to do. I just want to see where it could go and just get people to pray the rosary. It's very important to me and to us, for sure.
Yeah. Pray it forward?
Pray it forward.
That's what we say. We call it the rosary chain. So, because, you know, there's the chain of people. So, just how far it goes. But, you know, I call it pray it forward. Instead of pay it forward, we're praying it forward.
How can people, if they want to know more, how could they find that out?
So, you could go to our website that we created. It's rosarychain.org. You know, it's got Silvana's story, a little bit about us. But you could also
start a rosary chain.
There's a little link where you could say, hey, I want to start one. And I will absolutely send a rosary out and just see where to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you could also track it. There's a little button where you can track to see where the rosaries go.
Mm-hmm. And he has a Facebook page.
Oh,
so it's so much fun to see.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to track. This is truly a mission that just inspires people.
Yeah.
Nothing more than that.
Well, we'll give that web address again before the end of the show. But for right now, we're going to take a break on God Calling on AM 1260 The Rock, Cleveland Catholic Radio. Anthony and Vicki Colantono joining us on God Calling. Thanks for listening. I'm Paul Orlowski. We've told the story kind of a joy in your life coming from a tragedy in your life. But at the same point in time, you're trying to move forward. Mm-hmm. And you've got two other kids at home who are hurting as bad or maybe worse. I don't know. But how do you handle that?
You know what? They were really strong initially for us, and they continue to be. And I always tell them, you don't have to do that. Like, you know, I want them to open up and deal with the pain that they're going through. Right off the bat, though, I thought it was important to get help. So we did go to Cornerstone of Hope. And my youngest one fought it, did not think she wanted to go through the therapy. She didn't think she needed it. She tried it. And I didn't pressure them. If you don't like it, don't do it. So she dropped out after a month or so. Then maybe 6 months later, she decided, I think I need it. Mm-hmm. She was struggling a little bit. You know, she was the youngest, and she was super close to Silvana. She considered her best friend. So being in high school, going through everything, emotional stuff that you go through, she went back to Cornerstone and really had an eye-opening moment and was really starting to understand and come to terms with everything. But her and Olivia both, you know, I try to spin it as positive as I can. And sometimes I'm like, fake it until you make it, because I know it's hard. It's difficult. It's the worst thing you can go through. You know, life is hard. Every morning I wake up, I have mornings where I'm like, oh, why?
Mm-hmm.
And going back to the, you know, being angry with God, I think I was angry for sure in the beginning.
Sure.
Anthony gravitated to church right away, where I was like, I can't go there. I just can't. And I saw it in my girls, and I still, a little bit of anger is still there. They're like, why would a loving God do this? Why couldn't God stop it? Why, you know, all the questions I had, quite frankly, which we work through, you know, at Cornerstone, but you have to kind of refresh, remind yourself. And I'm like, this tragedy, there is good in it. And I want it to be a positive because I feel like I have to do that for my sake, for us to move forward. Just try our hardest to get to heaven. My goal is to get there. I know Silvana's there. I know with all my heart she's there. And I keep stressing it to the girls. My goal is to make sure you get there. And right now, nothing else matters.
To see her again.
Yeah. And I go, nothing matters besides getting to heaven. So they have their moments, and we all kind of have our moments, but we regroup as a family. We talk about it and communicate.
Do you think people are not aware enough of some of the resources that are available, like Cornerstone?
100%.
Or like many of the Catholic ministries?
Yeah, I don't think people realize what's out there. I think they think they could tackle it on their own.
You know, my biggest tip, though?
It's tough.
Find a priest you like. Find a priest you trust and have a conversation with them. I've had such amazing conversations with a lot of our local priests. they really wowed me.
Yeah.
Really wowed me. And, you know, I even though my degree's in psychology and I love psychology, the field, I'm like, you just need sometimes that priest to talk to, someone who's really good. And I've had so many great priests around, and we both have, that changed me completely. So I recommend, if anything, go to a priest.
Yeah.
Just start.
So, mm-hmm. Friends are great, but, you know, a friend telling you, you'll get over it.
No. And unless they've been, and that's the beautiful thing about Cornerstone, you're going to be amongst people who are in your situation, and there's something about that when someone can understand and relate. Every situation is different, but having a group of friends right now who have gone through the same tragedy as us makes you feel like, okay, I'm not the only one. Right. I am not going insane. And you're in a club no one wants to be a part of, but you're in a club now that you instantly are bound to each other. There's just a friendship there that is so deep, so mm-hmm. different than most of my friendships. Like one couple, we just met them. I don't know them, and I feel such a connection to them.
They're helping you, and you're helping them.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Sure. Do you find it hard to trust, or is the Rosary Project?
I think the Rosary really helps. I really do. I mean, I did have some trust issues at first, but I think, you know, us getting deeper into our faith, it's really helped out. You know, there was a few times where Vicky, she'd have to pick me up, and she's like, you know, we have a moral obligation. Let's try to put a good face on. You know, everyone's, you know, looking at us, and, you know, maybe someone that's in our situation could see us walking with our heads up, and maybe that could give them hope, because mm-hmm. that's all I wanted was some hope. And the strange thing is, you know, we went to Cornerstone for a couple of years. We're Silvana left us a little over 2 years and 9 months, something mm-hmm. like that. And maybe about 3 months ago, I was able to tell someone, I'm just starting to find a little joy.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I felt guilty if I was smiling or, you know, having a little fun. But it's okay. I mean, it took a lot of time. You'd be surprised what you could get used to, you know, what you can get used to.
You think about that. You feel guilty smiling.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And you're thinking, that's really deep. Everyone's watching me. I'm smiling. What are they, you know, like.
Yeah.
You don't want to. And part of, you know, grief is also holding on to those feelings, yeah. and it's hard to let go, because you're like, if I let go of this pain, then I feel like I'm letting go of my daughter, you know? And that's something we overcame and worked through at Cornerstone, realizing that you don't have to cry every day. You don't have to hold on to it. And letting it, you're never going to let it go. It's always going to be with you. But finding the joy is honoring Silvana to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I really feel like if I can't smile, I'm doing a disservice. And I want to give people hope too.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I was looking for that. I was craving that. I'm like, please tell me there's hope out here. I thought I would be miserable for my whole entire life. And I was seeking it out of people who did lose children. And I saw that life went on a little bit and they found joy here and there. And I'm like, you know, and it just transformed me into thinking, like, because of Silvana, I have to do it. I have to do it.
And there's a quote here that I read and some information that I looked up about you guys. And it just says, the rosary is the most excellent form of prayer and the most efficacious means of attaining eternal life. It's the remedy for all of our evils, the root of all of our blessings. There's no more excellent way of praying.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. There you go. How can people contact you if they would like a rosary?
So the easiest way is to go on the website and contact us through that way. It's rosarychain.org.
Rosarychain.org. Simple enough. Guys, thanks for coming in. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Paul Orlowski on God Calling. Anthony and Vicky Colantono, our guests this week. We hope you'll join us each and every week at this very same time.
Thank you for listening to God Calling. If you missed part of today's show, or you just want to hear it again, go to our website, am1260therock.com, and click on the On Demand tab. And remember, wherever you are in life, God is calling you.
The preceding program was a production of St. Peter the Rock Media and is brought to you by you. If you liked it, consider making a donation and supporting Catholic radio programming on AM 1260 The Rock.
Click on the orange donate button at am1260therock.com.